Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I am good. We're getting the cold weather out of the way here before you guys come out here in a few weeks.
Good, because the last time I did a game out there, it was in the low 50s.
Oh, so. 34 today, which for us is unheard of.
Okay, well, just so you know, it was 18 here.
Nope, no, I'm aware.
Okay, yeah, that's why I make sure you know. All right. It's a big decision day with the California Board of Regents and UCLA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tony, this is something where, for those of us who don't live there, for those of us who are in the other 49 states, why does the California Board of Regents have power over where somebody plays football and basketball?
It's to keep it as layman's term as possible. UCLA and Cal Berkeley are tied together when it comes to revenues and when it comes to how they're supported by the state. And when it was announced that UCLA was going to go to the Big Ten, we talked about it on this show. We said, hey, that sounds nice, and it's probably still going to happen, but they can't just up and do it without approval from the Board of Regents. Now, there's a similar, not the same, but similar dynamic that they're going to be watching in the state of Washington and in the state of Oregon, with Oregon State and Oregon, and with UW and Washington State. And so what the conversation is with the Board of Regents today is they're looking at a couple of outcomes. They're looking at the possibility of, I personally don't know if them just leaving is going to happen. I think what's most likely is they're going to leave and they're going to have to compensate Berkeley for it. And then there's always the wild card of maybe they try to block it and impose a tax of some kind or something. But I think the Board of Regents does understand it. For the layman outside of state, I'll keep this as diplomatic as I can. The Pac-12 for so many years was so poorly led that the schools and the economic prosperity of the schools, especially on the sports side, has been woeful at best. And UCLA has a $103 million deficit. They were already running a huge deficit before Under Armour pulled out of their deal, and that just made it a lot worse. So what's happening right now is this really difficult discussion at the Regents level, which is, look, if we force UCLA to stay here, they're going to have to cut a lot of sports. And they're going to have to cut a lot of sports that UCLA has historically been dominant at. They win a lot of Olympic sports, and they just won a women's gold or a women's national championship in soccer. But if they leave Berkeley, it's essentially a death knell for the for-profit sports at Berkeley, which have been hurting for a long time. Sorry to babble, but that's kind of the overview of what they're trying to decide.
All right, so whenever we see the grant of rights, it's the grant of media rights.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that will organically run out for UCLA. I believe the contract runs out June 30, 2024, but the grant of rights runs out August 1st, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, if the grant of rights runs out there, what gives Cal, and Cal's not asking this, but what gives Cal the rights to have a part of UCLA's media rights?
I think it's more an issue of when the taxpayer dollars are funding some of the facilities, even though it's not on a scale that you would anticipate, it's something that the legislature and especially some politicians out here, specifically Gavin Newsom, has kind of latched onto. They see this as a hill for them to stand on to look out for the little guy.
Okay.
And so, what's so interesting about this is just how disingenuous every party has been that's involved, right?
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right? George Klyapkov finally comes out and says, we didn't negotiate our TV deals yet, and we're holding off to see what happens with UCLA, right? And it's because he knows that if UCLA leaves and USC leaves, there's still that risk of Oregon State and Oregon separating, Oregon going somewhere to a bigger conference, Oregon State doing what they want to do in most sports outside of baseball and kind of move down in profile.
Right.
And the same thing happens with UW and Washington State. Meanwhile, while you negotiate with Fox, you can't upset them too much, or do they empower the Big 12 to come and take those schools and essentially send the Pac-12 into nowhere? So it's one of those really interesting things where, as a sports fan watching a football game, you don't understand how much of the future of competitive balance, especially for UCLA, is in these minute, what seemingly minute political decisions, like what we're seeing today with the Board of Regents. What's really interesting about it is the public fervor around it is actually the other way. UCLA alumni, you know, and I'm assuming that UCLA alumni don't understand what the deficit is, or they would have to come up with a way to raise $103 million annually to make up for that deficit. They're very much adamantly against UCLA making this move.
Right.
Whereas USC's fans and alumni are very vociferously for the move.
Well, if UCLA, with all due respect, had USC's president, they would have told him to pound sand and move on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that, no, that's the way she is. I mean, yep. No getting around it. I mean, Edward Hale wrote a short story back in the 1800s, The Man Without a Country. I feel like that's the story of UCLA right now, because right now they are without a country. But they, Tony, they've been giving away tens of thousands of tickets.
Nobody goes.
Right? I mean,
nobody goes, and they're never going to get to go. Right. I mean, UCLA is a perfect example of the state of California essentially trying to, I mean, it's a gross generalization, but it's true. The state of California and the taxpayers in California want nothing to do with sports.
Right.
Right? It's been that way for quite a long time. And so people outside of California may not understand that whenever we put ballot measures up to build stadiums, they fail. Right? The San Francisco Giants almost moved to Tampa Bay in 1993 because they couldn't get a stadium passed. And then finally, they got Measure A through, but they essentially publicly had to privately finance the stadium.
Well, look at the Chargers.
Privately financed.
Look at the Chargers. So
they couldn't get anything done. And the Chargers, you know, San Diego is a lot more red than most of the state of California, and they couldn't get it through there.
Nope.
And for those listening, because San Diego is it's a military hub. There are a number of military bases there, so it's a very staunch military city. And so when you look at it, like Stanford, for example, took the attendance number at Stanford Stadium from 85,000 to 30, and they still can't sell it out. And they've basically said when David Shaw left, you know, we're not going to support these sports anymore. We don't care. We're going to support some of the Olympic sports, but this is an academic institution. We don't care about football. And Cal has said the same thing, which is why it's disingenuous for Cal to say, well, we'd like to receive a tax if UCLA leaves. It's like, well, but you're not trying, and you're openly not trying to compete in the new era of college sports. So
yeah.
It's just interesting to watch because, you know, where you see places in the South, in Big Ten country, where they have municipal support to build stadiums, to support the university, to build up these large economies that are around it, you've had these local legislatures here who are just completely the opposite. They will never let UCLA build a stadium on campus.
Right.
Never. And all they would need is a 35,000-person stadium. And for those people listening in Pennsylvania who aren't aware, if you would, and this would be, I mean, it's going to blow their minds if they haven't been out here, and they will be for the Rose Bowl soon. If you go to UCLA and you're a student, a freshman student, likely without a car, and you want to go to a UCLA football game on a Saturday afternoon,
27 miles,
you are likely sitting in an hour and 10 minutes of traffic to get there.
And look, the property around there, you can't even go off campus. Not a lot of room to build a stadium there to begin with. The property off campus is so expensive, there's no way you can get it. But what people don't seem to realize is UCLA's been balancing their athletic department budget by borrowing from the school.
Yeah.
Isn't it a plus that they can be autonomous and get a big TV contract and not borrow from the school and from the state taxpayers anymore?
It would seem like that would be, like we talked about a second ago, that this is disingenuous, right?
Right.
That seems like the easiest way to do it, but then they leave the Pac-12, and then the Pac-12's in trouble, and then, you know, it's just, everybody's looking out for themselves in this one. And what's essentially happened is you have this brand, and we talked about this with Tennessee a couple years ago, had a great year this year and kind of bounced back.
Yep.
You have this brand with UCLA who hasn't been relevant in football nationally since probably the Edgerrin James years. Right, mm-hmm. of the early 2000s when they had Cade McNown and those guys. The basketball program, which was once a blue blood, you know, they do well now, but if you saw the economic support they get when you compare them to North Carolina, Kentucky, and the like, it's paltry.
Right.
Right? And so it's just been horribly mismanaged for a very long time, and now we're standing on the fringe of, you know, a possible decision where UCLA could become even more even less relevant. Now, you and I both know they're going to end up in the Big Ten. They have to.
Sure.
Financially, they have to.
Right.
It's a $103 billion deficit year
right.
over year. They have to go.
Right.
Right. So we'll see what they end up doing, whether it's going to be how much money they're going to have to pay in ransom to the state of California in order to do this. And quite honestly, for those who are, and not to be political, not a political guy, but for those who are listening to this and saying, how can the state of California possibly tax somebody for leaving? We're already voting on that in the legislature.
Yep.
It's been up regularly that if you move out of the state of California, they can collect taxes from you for the next 2 years.
Yeah. All right, so the college football playoff's going to go to 12. I know we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And that the last 2 years of the contract with 12 will be ESPN exclusivity because they have the contract. But then it opens up. Tony, when it opens up, we expect multiple media partners. Is it possible to you that 12 becomes 16 because you need the inventory with multiple media partners?
I think it's possible that 12 becomes 16. I think it's possible that eventually the college football playoff becomes the NCAA, and it goes well beyond 16.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what happened with the rights for. I mean, there's a couple of different ways we can look at this, predicated upon what's happened with rights on different places. And a lot of times we look at North American media rights, but North American media rights are generally a little bit different than the rest. So, for example, you know, NFL controls their media rights across the board, where the Major League Baseball has them in, you know, different regions. Currently, baseball is doing everything they can to try to consolidate those rights, which could mean bankruptcy for Sinclair. For those who don't
That's
know
right.
who Sinclair is, Sinclair owns Bally Sports. Bally Sports used to be Fox Sports. They are the ones who negotiate all of those regional sports network deals. So they go to the Milwaukee Brewers and say, we want to carry your games, and they do a deal. And those things have been individual, and the teams have had the rights to do those. Sinclair is in trouble. There's rumors that they are possibly going to go into bankruptcy, and what could start that will be the Minnesota Twins deal that's coming up in a couple of months. If that happens, Manfred is going to try to consolidate his TV rights, which is what the NFL has done. If he can do that, then you can start to look at things like what we see with the English Premier League, where they have four partners currently. So much so that people are looking to buy Manchester United, and they can't because of their media rights that they have, right? Amazon has media rights for the EPL, so they can't turn around and buy Manchester United, who's asking for $8 billion for the team right now.
Right.
So the College Football Playoff is looking at this and saying, this is the Premier League. We are about to form the Premier League. And it's not a lot different than what happened when the English Premier League got together and essentially broke away from the FA, which was the federation in England up until 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yes, I think what you're saying is going to 16. I think people need to prepare for the fact that the college football playoff is going to be the overarching league in the next 10 years.
Yeah, because, I mean, people, when you look at FCS, they have 24 teams in that playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. So, I mean, and that's been expanded over the years to get to 24.
And I think it's interesting, and you know the players very well, so you understand this. And I played college sports. Now, I played a college sport that doesn't pay a lot of money. I played basketball for one day, and then I focused on a different one. But there's this fundamental philosophical argument that if you move to a college football playoff with 16 teams or 24 teams, you're no longer a student athlete. And my counter would be, that's not true. Because there is a full industrial complex that is around these sports. And a lot of these athletes who go and play football or soccer or field hockey or baseball or whatever else make a living playing those sports after they leave college. How is that any different than learning to be an archaeologist?
Right. No, I mean, that's absolutely right. You're right. Exactly. I mean, this is your proving ground to get yourself someplace. If you're a basketball player, it could be a proving ground that can get you to Europe to play professionally.
You can go to Europe and play professionally. You can be a coach or a trainer here. You can start a club program. There is vocation that comes after this. And that goes back to, it segues to what we were talking about with UC Regents. There's this discussion in California that sports are not academics. Therefore, we shouldn't be involved in them. Whereas my counterargument would be, people make money playing sports and coaching sports and covering sports and the like and the like and the like. How is that any different than learning how to be an electrical engineer?
Right.
Which you offer, and you pour money into your engineering program, especially as it can make money with, you know, different kind of donations and the like. So that's at the core of the college football playoff argument, right? Is, oh, well, you're creating a minor league, so to speak. What's the problem with that? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, and I know some people said that with the expanded college football playoff, it'll really hurt quote, bowls. Tony, you and I both know ESPN owns 17 of these bowl games. They yeah. own 17. All right.
Yeah.
So you take out the college football playoff, you know, the New Year's Six. Okay, we're down to 35. Fox has won the Holiday Bowl. CBS has the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Now we're down to 33. So ESPN owns more than half of the other ones. This is brilliant programming for them. They aren't going anywhere.
Yeah. And even the funny thing is sometimes people will laugh when they turn on the Bahamas Bowl and there's like 28 people in the
yeah,
tent, right?
Yeah.
They're like, why are you doing this, right?
Right.
But then you look at the ratings, and it's outdrawing a very large percentage of what it's competing against.
No question. There'll
right?
only be
it's
two. There'll only be two bowl games probably, and maybe even just one that has fewer than a million. And it's because yeah. of the time frame it's at 9 times out of 10.
Right.
Fox. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, no, I'm saying that advertisers can't eat it up enough.
Right.
Gambling is becoming a part of it. It's one of the last bastions of, I mean, that's what we're looking at right now when you're talking about the media business. Like, it's changing. People are out there saying you don't rent media rights anymore. You buy them, right? If you can own it, that's where we want to get to.
Yeah.
And you see what happens with ESPN. You know, ESPN essentially helps create the MLS for 24 years.
No doubt.
See you later. We're with Apple now.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's how people are looking at this going forward. CFP is saying, we need to own this. ESPN, as you pointed out, they know exactly what they're doing. We need to own this.
Right?
Right? Because then it grows and builds, and it's one of the last bastions of programming that people are continuing to tune into, and it's not on demand. They're doing it live.
All right. And I just did the Charleston Shriners Classic last month down in Charleston, South Carolina. ESPN owns the tournament. Penn State's going to go to Orlando next year. ESPN owns the tournament. Right?
Yeah.
So they're and the reason they're doing it is they're creating programming for themselves, and that's the job of a network, and that's what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. And you know, I always feel bad because I want to come on like everybody else and talk about how fun it is to follow the sport. But
yeah,
at the same
I know.
Time,
like, yeah, you and me
but
both.
But you see what's so important about this. This is why Sean Clifford's in his 19th year at quarterback. This is why, right? Like, these things are happening because there's a business behind it. And that business behind it is predicated upon profit,
yeah.
right? And so you see all these things tugging and pulling. And the problem is the CFP has essentially created this incredible league where they own the rights. And they're saying, this is where this is going. And for whatever reason, the California municipalities are saying, no, we don't want to do this, which is really interesting because I'm super curious to see what happens with Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
They cannot stay if those two leave.
Oh, well, and remember, Oregon and Washington have the same states, I believe, have the same border regions situation as California does, right?
Yeah. And nobody's taken Oregon State. And the difference is, what's interesting about all of this is some people would come back and say, why doesn't Berkeley go with them, right? Why doesn't the Big Ten just take Berkeley?
No.
Nobody wants – or first of all, they don't want them. And secondly, Berkeley doesn't want to go. Berkeley doesn't care, right? Oregon State wants to play in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
You know, Washington State probably wants to leave for the Mountain West.
Yeah.
They don't want to stay in the Pac-10, Pac-12.
Yeah.
Pac-6. Who knows what it's going to be?
Well, MLS, by the way, did come up with a secondary contract, and that was with Fox. And the last time we were on, we talked about Apple 10 years. Why didn't you wait till the World Cup? This one does take you to the World Cup in 26.
Yeah.
So at least there's some over-the-air linear intelligence for the MLS to take advantage of the 26 World Cup in the United States.
Exactly. And there was always a question about the non-exclusive rights and how that was going to play into what they were negotiating, right? And now you're kind of seeing the playbook, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's a tough spot for ESPN because ESPN does support the league as it grows, right? I mean, it's a strong and healthy league now, but you and I were around in 1994. We
yeah.
were around
yep.
as it launched, and they were just begging anybody to go.
Right.
And, you know, there was no loyalty when the time came for more money, right? They put a gun in their mouth and said, hey, this is what Apple's bidding. And listen, the more Apple and Google and Amazon come to play in that world, they have bottomless pockets.
Yeah, they do indeed. One final question. When we look at all these contracts, we see what they've done with the Premier League. Is that in some ways a model that if you are a media watcher in this country, and somebody who's a corporate watcher in this country, that you should watch closely how the Premier League goes about its media and corporate business?
It's interesting, the Premier League, as opposed to La Liga and Serie A. I mean, you see teams like FC Barcelona who had to sell the private equity and take large debt chunks just to stay afloat, right? This is an iconic club that's losing $400 million a year. What the Premier League has done so well is they're almost like a republic, like we are, a republic of 50 states. Like there is control. There are controls that are controlling the teams that are together, but in the end, there is still individualism within the clubs. And they've just threaded that needle. I don't think all of it was intentional, to be honest, but they've created this environment where they have just commercialized the clubs and turned them into these worldwide products. I mean, for those who don't pay that much attention, and most don't, City Football Group has been buying teams around the globe for years now. They just bought three more in the last 4 months. They know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And this just becomes this large, massive, organization that has global reach that can negotiate with the Premier League while they're staying there. And the key to that is the Premier League, because it's a unity of the clubs that are in it, can't have a gun held in its mouth.
Right.
Right. That's the difference. So exactly what you pointed out with ESPN with the Bulls. Right. It's not going to happen. So everybody should be paying attention to what's happened there versus like what's happened with the Bundesliga, which in the 90s was as big a league as the Premier League and it's nowhere close now.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, the business model of the Premier League and the media model of the Premier League is stunning. How good it is. So,
you could ask a layman who kind of knows soccer, name 10 Premier League teams, and they could do it.
Yes.
Right? Fairly easily.
No question.
Or they would say, I could name 10, they'd say, yes, I've heard of those teams. If I named the top 10 Bundesliga teams, most people wouldn't know the bottom seven. They'd maybe know Bayern Munich, maybe Borussia Dortmund, and that's about it.
Well,
right?
Because the Premier League has done a great job of establishing deep-seated brands that people understand. Mm-hmm.
And they did it together like the CFP is looking to do.
Yes,
What they did. They did in 1994 was say, this FA is not working for us anymore. We're going to put together a super league. We're going to take the top clubs. We're going to bring them together. Everybody else can stay involved, but it's not going to be an even cut anymore. It's exactly what the Big Ten and the SEC are doing. Yeah. They're looking at us and saying, listen, I don't need the incompetence of the ACC. I don't need the incompetence of the Big 12. I don't need the incompetence of the Big East standing in the way of what we're doing and what we're doing well. Yep. And that's what's happened.
Every time we finish these, you and I always say the same thing. We don't talk often enough. So
yeah, not often enough.
So we will change that in the new year. How about that?
Absolutely. Enjoy the Rose Bowl. Hopefully, I'm back on the 2nd, so hopefully we'll cross paths.
Hopefully cross paths.
We've got the CFP coming into town. So.
Yep, exactly, because it's at SoFi this year. So.
That's right.
Tony, thank you to you and that beautiful family of yours. Happy holidays.
You too. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you too, my friend. We will talk shortly.
All right, brother.